Chapter 5. From the American Podcasting Network, this is the Wayward Guide for the Untrained Eye. I'm Artemis Shoes. Psych! It's me, Paul! Okay. I know what you're thinking. That was a surprisingly convincing Artemis impression. Have you ever auditioned for Saturday Night Live? To which I would respond, I send a tape. Every year. Lorne? Please call me back.
But also, where's the real Artemis? We like her intros better.
Yes, obviously, for sure. We thought it might be best to switch gears for today's episode. Let your boy Paul take the lead on this one.
And why is that?
Artie, you sure you want to go into this?
What kind of reporters would we be if we weren't honest with our listeners?
Oh, bad ones, I guess. Sorry, I thought you were going to go right into it.
The truth is, the evening before the town council election, I had an accident that took me out of commission for a while.
She tripped and dropped her recorder.
Hey, I tripped hard, hit my head, skinned my knee, ruined my good jeans. It wasn't pretty. But worst of all, I lost some tape.
Don't beat yourself up. I doubt you lost any audio more interesting than the sound bites I got the next morning at the Connor Creek town council elections. Rock that vote, baby!
Oh, boy.
I tell you, this is probably going to be the biggest election in Connor Creek history.
Before we jump into my election day escapades, here's Odie Doty, Connor Creek's mail carrier, talking with Artemis after Sheriff Madison entered the town council race.
Or at least since the incumbent mayor was challenged by a stray cat.
Oh, right. I forgot you elected a dog as your mayor.
Yeah, 10 years strong. But you know how the political pendulum swings. Those dog allergy sufferers really rallied behind that roadside kitten to make their voices heard, and they were
Regarding your comment about the current election, though, what leads you to believe it's going to be so impactful?
Oh, well, take a look around. Have you ever seen the town plastered with so many campaign posters? Huh.
No. I don't live here.
Oh-dee-dodee, that's right. Well, it's certainly the most campaign materials I've ever delivered in my tenure. Flyers, brochures, pamphlets, you name it. I'm a fitness buff, so there's a silver lining. The extra load increases the intensity of my on-the-job workout. Here, time me.
Is there any evidence that the candidate's efforts are working? How do you know all the extra campaign materials are resonating with the locals?
Oh, sizable lack of mail-in ballots. Seems like almost everybody wants to show up tomorrow and vote together. Time?
I don't know how this works.
No problem. Gotta make the most of the post, I always say. Hit me again, coach!
I'm absolutely calling you coach from now on.
Please don't.
Like we mentioned earlier, due to her accident the night before, Coach wasn't able to attend the next morning's election festivities at Town Hall. Because they started early.
You heard that right. Elections traditionally begin at 3:45 a.m., says so in the Connor Creek Constitutional Charter, or the C4, as I like to call it. It's a little nickname I made up to save time when discussing city business. It's very complicated, but I'm a master of streamlining and efficiency. Do you need me to explain that again? Aubrey! Who forgot to change the dang dirty coffee filter?
Earlier than 4 a.m. is honestly still nighttime. I'm not sure it would even qualify as an election day. But despite the ludicrous start time, Odie was right. The residents of Connor Creek showed up.
Okay, let's get to it, folks. Before the caffeine wears off, am I right? Siblings?
Of course. Let us welcome the mayor of Connor Creek to give her opening remarks.
She makes that joke every year, but I'm always tickled.
This is just one of their many peculiar election day practices. We'll get to more later. But it seemed many of the voters didn't mind the early hours. Here's Olivia, owner of the ammunition shop, and Vern, the town butcher.
Have you seen Riley? I wanted to snag her keys before we got started. She'll have town council business after we're done, so I told her I'd open both of our stores this morning. Even though we don't see eye to eye on the issues, politics won't stop the guns and ammo business.
Plus, with all us running the shops, these early mornings are a nice excuse to see your friends. Even when you got beef.
Well, it is a pretty heated election.
No, I mean I literally have beef. Shipment of ground chuck is coming in, so I gotta get back soon.
After weeks of preparation and pomp and circumstance, in a few short hours, the results would be in. And Connor Creek would be right back to its normal routine.
Hopefully this line starts moving, because I'm expecting a pretty big turnout when all this is said and done. Elections get people excited about history, and history gets them thinking about artifacts. And artifacts get you thinking about fossilized eggs. So yes, business is booming. What was the question again?
What time did you get in line?
I think I can offer some valuable insight here. Elections force us to meditate on the idea of choices. Do I choose this candidate or that? Community or isolation? The healing powers of the Lord or eternal damnation? Go to church?
It was truly a sight to behold, all the divided locals coming together to exercise their civic duty, even if some of them didn't quite understand what that duty was.
I think my greatest strength is my willingness to say yes. Yes, I'll go on a fourth date with you. Yes, I'll move out of this town as soon as I can. Yes, I kiss with my eyes open.
What?
Wait, are we doing speed dating? I marked you down as a match.
Donnie, that's a ballot.
Jewel, you can take off the mustache. We know it's you.
Jewel, you must be mistaken. I am an adult man who is absolutely of the legal voting age.
You gotta hand it to him. At least they're enthusiastic.
All in all, about 98% of the eligible voting body of Connor Creek cast their vote that morning. The most notable absence was Madison Reynolds. And a candidate going AWOL on election day did not sit well with some of her constituents. Take, for instance, Riley Kirkland, owner of the gun depot and town council member.
You ever had to go to work nursing the mother of all hangovers? It's tough as a turtle titty, but I'm here, aren't I? What's Sheriff Reynolds' excuse?
I heard she was involved in a shooting last night.
A shooting? She wasn't in an episode of Magnum P.I. I was there. I was blitzed out of my mind, but I was there. As far as I remember, she was just scaring off a wild animal. And if a little action is enough to get her panties so twisted that she can't show up for her own election proceedings, well, maybe she's not cut out for the job. There's my breakfast.
And to make matters worse for Madison, the Truman campaign was there to greet the public in a big way. We're talking handshakes, photo ops, complimentary refreshments, kissing babies.
I don't remember there being any babies in town.
Figuratively. The point being, if Madison wasn't on the ballot, you'd forget she was even running.
You think this coffee was brewed right at a Starbucks. Thank you, Miss Hensley, for the pick-me-up. Remember that when you're casting your vote? I'm kidding. Active campaigning at a polling station is a strict violation of our voting guidelines. Rita, the caucus is.
Okay, now, here was the moment when things got weird.
This was the moment?
Well, we all know about caucusing, right? The dated and arbitrary procedure Iowa uses to select candidates for primary elections. Well, Connor Creek has a similar tradition.
But there were only two candidates to vote for. What's the point of caucusing?
Oh, Artie, it seems the student has become the coach. They don't caucus to decide who wins the vote, but rather how they vote.
On the topic of blue ink versus black ink for the voting pens, how do the party caucuses vote?
The Conservative Conservation Party of Connor Creek casts its 14 delegates to blue ink.
The liberal use of federal filibuster party of Connor Creek casts its 16 delegates to blue ink.
The exceptional independent party of Connor Creek casts its one delegate to black ink.
Barney, come
on. I'm within my rights.
Noted. Moving on to the topic of voting with paper or plastic.
Is plastic voting even a thing?
Oh, you wouldn't believe the things they caucused over. Whether to vote oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest, whether to play music during the voting, whether to pass out I voted stickers or pins this year. I mean, they do this at every election.
Well, I always say, culture grows on the vine of tradition.
No, that's just something you retweeted yesterday.
Follow at Quotespirational for more fun sayings like that one.
Hashtag not an ad. Anyways, the caucusing went to about 6:30 a.m. Until.
Next up, the topic of voting with your dominant hand versus your non-dominant hand.
Rita, can I borrow you? We have a bit of a situation.
Ugh. Did Dr. Edwards raid my formaldehyde stash again? It's not for getting a good buzz on. It's for keeping the bodies fresh, so that I can attend to them all.
Cool. Can we just, like, skip this now?
Nuh-uh. No, sir. Do you want the Elections Commission breathing down our necks? I didn't think so, mister. Sybilis, proceed with the coxswain, will you?
And then it dragged on for another hour and a half.
Okay, now I really don't regret missing this.
But after that, things moved surprisingly fast. The actual voting and the counting of the votes only took about 30 minutes total.
Makes sense. Don't they have a population of, like, 50?
Riley, what kind of an animal did you see last night?
Well, it was a dog. Well, like a big dog, real big, like a wolf-sized dog.
Hey, zip it, you two. We're gonna announce the results. Sybilis?
It's my pleasure to announce the victor is...
Sybilis, I'll take it from here. Why don't you finish your muffin?
First up, they announced the winner of the mayoral race. Here's a snippet from her victory speech.
Huh. She has changed her tune on climate change, I'll tell you that.
When it came time to announce the winner of the town council seat, the room went quiet. This election really captured the attention of Connor Creek in a way very few things had before.
I mean, hell, it captured our attention.
For a second, I thought, could Madison actually win and derail whatever minor mole was scheming?
And the candidate who will be filling the vacant town council seat is...
Oh, Paul, you wishful thinker.
Miss Truman Hensley.
With Truman's victory came a minor mole victory. That was made perfectly clear at the end of her inaugural speech.
If only my father could see me today, entrusted with this beautiful town's future. As I often say, the way forward is together. So, allow me to uphold that promise of unity and lay the first brick in the road to the future. Sybilis, I'd like to call for a vote to ease the regulations that would allow Minor Mole to begin drilling.
With the swing vote secured, the motion passed,
giving Silas Torson, a major suspect in the case, a blank check to do whatever the hell he wanted.
All right, y'all, that's a wrap on Election Day. Good job, everybody.
Guys, has anybody seen Odie Dodie? Someone's got to deliver the paper as soon as it's printed. Oh, also, Aubrey, after you're done checking on the River Rocks, let's burn all the Sheriff Reynolds victory t-shirts. No one's going to be wearing those anymore.
It was all over before 9 a.m. By the time I got back to the Dead Canary to order breakfast, Desmond had already picked up a paper and was perusing the news over a cup of Java. In under 6 hours, Connor Creek held an election, got the results, voted on a policy change, and reported the events in their daily press.
Truman had a point about the lack of red tape. In a small town, things moved fast.
Especially rumors.
Remember that accident I had where I fell the night before the election? Well, it was actually the same incident Paul talked to Riley about. One that involved her, Madison, and a big dog. Rumors about our little encounter made their way through the crowd gathered to vote at the town hall. And in a fraction of the time it took to elect a new town council member, the people of Connor Creek traded one kind of mania for another.
Artie, are you corroborating my hunch?
I sure am, Paul. Werewolf mania.
Next time on Wayward Guide.
This is Alice Walker with another installment of the Alice Files. It's 7:45 p.m., listeners. The town is steeped in chaos. Though actually looking really pretty right now. Is that golden hour? It's dusk, maybe? Hard to say. Oh boy, take a look at how gorgeous it is. Look at that. I love how many constellations you can spot on a clear night. Ooh, like that one. Ooh, look at that one over there. You really gotta see it. Wow, this is great radio.
Thank you.
Tin Can Brothers presents Wayward Guide for the Untrained Eye. Starring
Mary-Kate Wiles
and
Steve Zaragoza.
Written and directed by Corey Lubowitch, Joey Richter, and Brian Rosenthal. Featuring
Brendan Bradley,
Lauren Lopez,
Andrew James Holmes,
Nick Lang,
Tara Perry,
Clayton Snyder,
Daniel Strauss,
Sean Persaud,
John Cozart,
Ryan Timkins,
Tara Perry,
Sinead Persaud,
Gavin Pickens,
Cassie Silva,
Gabe Greenspan,
and original theme music, sound design, and mixing by Ears Up Sound Design. Executive producers Corey Lubowitch, Joey Richter, and Brian Rosenthal, Paul Komorowski, and Greg Gibbons and April Morris. Go beyond the podcast and watch new episodes of the Wayward Guide Companion Series on YouTube. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information, visit waywardguideshow.com or follow Tin Can Bros on Instagram and Twitter.